We're still in Luke chapter 13, and we're talking about the fruit, but then we're talking about the idea of, well, let's read it. In verse 9, if it bear fruit, well, if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now, let's look at some of these, what this cutting off, cutting down. We're just a couple of them. Matthew, let's go to Matthew 5. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. If thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So he's talking here, obviously, to believers. The one that just burned my bacon when I was a new believer was, and I didn't want to know this one at all, but about the one, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That just blew me away. And then if that's the case, then anything else that I lust after, if you will, in my mind, even the slightest bit, is and it just took, you know, it took all my fun at imagining, and it just took it away. And this is incredibly important, because he's talking to believers, and he's saying, if you're looking after her to lust after, you've already committed adultery. And then it goes on then ad infinitum to everything else. The whole mystery is on this basis of, if you have food and, what is it, food and shelter, you don't be content. Be content with what you have. And that took a whole lot. That took a whole lot of repentance. It's why that I suggested that those that work for the foundation do the vow of poverty thing. And that's why that I didn't do it initially, but I did it eventually, taking the vow of chastity. Because this is the only thing that could keep my mind at bay. Now, maybe the rest of you didn't have that problem, but it just ruined any idea of a good ideas folder. It just destroyed that in me, because I had just as many good ideas as probably more than what I thought were good ideas. But the whole idea of what their mind is doing, this cemented it. Because all your mind does is lust. Yeah. So anyway, I hope, but the point of this is that we're talking about cutting off. And obviously, if the right hand offend thee, or if the eye offend thee, pluck it out, and if the right hand offend thee, cut it off. He's not, Muhammad took this and made it literal. And that's where he got just everything, and except for the very last chapters of the Quran, are just rehashing of what's in the Bible. But the very last chapters, which were the first revelations that he had, are really, they're really outstanding. But you come to hear, and they're doing this all the time right now in Iran and other places. They're just cutting people's hands off. And I don't know about plucking out eyes, but what does it mean? Metaphorically, what does it mean to cut off, pluck out your eye, or cut off your hand, huh?
Well, just taking a straight shot, if you only have one eye, you can't very well be double. Can't eye be double?
Well,
you
yes,
can, but it, I mean, it's just,
yeah, you know, yeah, it can.
You're craving very.
Well, but the point is that it's you're not going to do that, but you're going to see, and this is the fear of God. That, I mean, this is what it did to me. The fear of God became massive. I couldn't excuse my behavior anymore. I couldn't justify it. And that's what these scriptures hopefully will manifest. Amen? What? You're doing something?
I'm thinking about this. Let's clarify something on the fruits, because we got two things on the table. It seems one is the fruit, which is Christ in you. That's the fruit that I...
Well, it's also, it's obvious, and the fruit is also the believers. So it's also reproducing yourself.
That's not quite as obvious to me. This seems more pointed to Christ in you as the fruits, and then reproduction is what happens with Christ in you. It's not going to happen if he's not.
Right.
And so these fruits, and I'm thinking, I was tying that into the lusting and the desires and all that that are rampant. And those are fruits too, but they're fruits of the flesh. And they're massive and they're hard to overcome. Can you even deny it? Can you say, oh, that's wrong, I'm not going to do that? And your flesh and body and mind does it.
You better do it.
And then that's where the fear of God comes
in. Right.
And that puts you on your knees.
Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And this put me in that fear and trembling.
Where's the power?
The power comes after I repent. There's nothing without repentance. That's why the idea of bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance never ends.
Yeah, we don't have the power to resist. It's only our death.
You have the power to resist it if you know you're going to die if you do it.
Absolutely.
Or you know you're going to, it's symbolically cutting off your hand or plucking out your eye. If that doesn't put the fear of God into you, I don't know what will. There's the guy in Origen castrated himself. Luther used to lay out in the snow with nothing on but his shorts.
Melt the snow.
But the point of it is that the that's before Luther saw, really. He was still looking just after understanding with his mind. He didn't realize Christ in him. That was his life. So his only job was constant repentance. It wasn't trying to mortify he wasn't trying to perfect the flesh in any way. He finally saw the flesh wasn't to be perfected. That's the whole, it can't be, but it can't be paid any attention to either. It's the whole idea of seeing that your mind and your emotions are just a little bee that's running around, and the more you ignore it, the more it loses its power.
Could it be likened to pain? Pain's pretty hard to ignore, I suspect.
Well, I think the pain, at least the pain that I've had, is 10,000 times worse than any lust. But I know with everything in me, it was necessary to keep me under. So I don't regenerate it.
But then one day you saw something.
Well, I said, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain. When that couldn't have been my voice, I would never have said that.
Yeah.
But you cannot excuse and justify the constant crap of your mind. It can't be done.
True.
All right. Let's go on. There's another one if you're taking notes of the same thing in Matthew 18. But now let's look at more at cutting off. Let's start in well, we've already done Matthew 3. Start it. Let's go to John 15.
You mean Matthew 5?
No, we did Matthew 3 yesterday.
Oh, okay.
John 15. This is the word that's cut off or cut. It's a kato. It means to cut off, literally, but it also means to cut off occasion. So John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, every branch. Now, we are the branches, so it's obvious he's talking about us. Every branch in me, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And the word taketh away is the same as the sicapto. He cuts it off. Now, then the ones that are bearing fruit, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. And the pruning of the branch is what we call suffering. Amen? So what is the fruit that's to be born? Initially, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is the personality of Jesus Christ. But it also is fruit, it's reproduction. But you can't reproduce until you're in the Father position, until you know you're on the mercy seat. You can reproduce tens of thousands if you tell the world what it wants to hear. You can have churches with 150,000 people in it. All right, let's look at Romans 11. This whole of Romans 11 is talking about the remnant of Israel that needs to be saved. It's the same thing John the Baptist was doing in terms of causing repentance. But you have to hear this mindset, and it's hard for us to understand it. But the whole of the Jewish culture believed then, and still does believe, much of the Jewish culture still, not all of it, believed that they had, by their birthright, by their lineage, they had a right to go to heaven. Now, that's what was so violently destroyed by John the Baptist in the baptism of repentance, as what we, you know, causing them to go to the other sides, saying they weren't worthy. Well, the same is true now. There's a whole world of Christianity that puts themselves in the same position that the Jews did. That by their birthright, but their birth is they were born again, then they are once saved, always saved. And so everything is fine. There's no discipleship. And that's exactly the same. The flesh can't be saved. That's exactly the same as the Jews. That's why the baptism of repentance that we are doing now in our group is so important. And I pray that somehow that penetrates the church. And so that it would know that baptism was burial. I mean, it says it all over the scriptures, but they still, it's by tradition. Now, so here he's talking to, he's saying beware. Don't just be, let's start in verse 13. We have to go in 12, I'm sorry. Now if the fall of them, the Jews, be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke the emulation, provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So he's saying that by the conversion of the Gentiles and their fruit, if you will, then that will provoke some of his brethren, the Jews by nature, to become true believers. So that's what he's saying so far, right? All right. In verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root, that fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root bearest thee. And that's the whole mystery. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. On them which fell severity. But toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. So everything in us has to be a generation, be generated from the root and not from the mind. The root is the seed of Christ. But anything we do that generated from the mind, beware, lest you also be cut off. Understand? Well, he's saying, don't boast because you got saved and the Jews didn't.
But if you do boast, you bear not the root.
Well, he's just saying you're silly for bearing. You're silly if you boast of anything except the root.
But it sounds like then, but the root, the, so it's like, it's almost like God's mercy there or something.
No, the root beareth thee. Not, you're not bearing the root, so you have no right to glory. if you're cut off, if, in verse 22, 21 and 10, if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. His goodness is the root. This is the seed of Christ. So you can't, there's nothing about the mind that you can justify. That's why the Lord's Prayer is so important. Lead us not into temptation, but to the contrary. And that's, that lead is the only, that word is only used twice in the Bible, both in the Lord's Prayer. It means to lead inward into the mind. Lead us not inward into temptation, but to the contrary, deliver us from the evil one, which is you. So the evil one, you must be delivered from it. You can't be delivered if you don't repent of it. If you don't take the lowest seat. Otherwise, your mind is going to continue to operate just like another Gentile. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Now that's using this cut off, the same word, but it's metaphorically now of cutting off the branches for good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. If your mind is corrupted, then the same thing is going to happen. You'll be cut off. Amen?
Interesting people who believe in the power of their lineage.
Well, that's what we studied the other day. That when he says, I never knew you. I mean, you're not of the right genetic makeup.
Right. That's kind of what it implies here.
But your minds should be corrupted. That's the key. The mind being corrupted, and it's corrupted by using it, by giving it breath. Well, that's just part of it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's enough for cutting off. Everybody understand? We can finally leave verse 9 now. How come we spend so much time in these verses?
You're so easy.
I would to God, brethren, that you should not be ignorant. Last night. That's why I got. I know why I don't feel good on Thursdays. It's Nick.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
I mean, no, Thursday morning.
I didn't go on Wednesday night, Thursday morning.
But he bought up this.
Yeah, I brought it up.
Go on about it. I was just waiting for an opportunity to call them ignorant sluts. You don't remember that? love it when Nick challenges me. All right. Anybody have anything else? You understand perfectly? Shrugging your shoulders doesn't count.
I know.
Take it, big guy.